Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Side with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for staying with me. Thanks for hanging out with me. My pleasure. If you've been here, you've already been listening, thank you for that. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. Glad you're here. Joe Muse is with us, folks. Joseph Muse is the founder and the president of Belmont Partners. He's also a member of our Brain Trust and just about to celebrate his one of his anniversaries with us as a member of our Brain Trust. He is he's a guy who puts together, as you know, as you heard me talk about it already this today, and as we have in the past, he's a guy who puts together reverse mergers. That's what his company does. We'll go get him to give us a review of what that means and talk about how that all that works in today's economy. Joe Muse, welcome back to the show.
Hey, good morning, Jim.
It's good to have you back as always, Joe. I've been talking about reverse mergers in the previous part of the hour. I told the audience that it was one way for a company to become publicly traded. And I'd like for you to give them a little more of a technical tour of how a reverse merger works.
Sure, sure. So I really believe that what we do allows the entrepreneur to grow his business because the entrepreneur needs capital. And it's certainly hard in this environment to find money from banks or anywhere else to grow your business. So a reverse merger is simply the taking the merging of the private company into an already existing public shell company. A lot of people don't realize this, but out there are hundreds and thousands of these public shells that have no business. They have a ticker symbol. You go to Yahoo, you can pull it up. But there's no business in there. And what we do is we merge the two together, the private company with the public company, whereby the private company still controls almost everything. They own 98% of the stock. The private company CEO is the public company CEO. Everything from an operational standpoint runs the same, but now they're in a public structure. And the benefit of that is that when you go talk to investors, they actually see an exit, right? They actually see the ability to put in $1 million today and not be in a private company for 5 years, but to have the ability to exit in a year or two because it's a public company. It takes risk out of the equation, and it helps companies raise capital. So that's
so what we've got, folks, is if you've got a growing business, a growing privately owned business, it's just a small business that's growing, you want to, and you need access to capital beyond what a bank can loan you. What maybe your banker's been doing good, maybe Joe, maybe your banker's been working really well with you. You just have outgrown them. That happens all the time, doesn't it? A growing business will outgrow their bank, and go ahead.
No, as I said, it happens all the time. We have businesses that are small, and we have businesses that are doing $100 million in revenue and highly profitable.
Yeah, and they just outgrow their bank, and so they need and plus bank loan, bank capital is can be expensive. Equity capital is in from a cash flow standpoint is not as onerous because you put the people invest with you. They don't get they know they're not going to get a dividend right away. They know they're not going to they're looking for growth in the stock price. And so you find these shells. These are companies that have already gone through the process of becoming public companies. They've already got a ticker, as you say, and an indicator, a designator, and they've got some level of activity. Maybe they're just strictly a shell, but they may actually already have had somebody make a market for them, right? There may actually be a bid and an ask for the stock.
That's right.
But there's just nobody doing business. Nobody's asking customers to buy anything in the name of that shell company.
That's right. It's literally an empty company waiting for a new private business to come in and start it or restart
And install a business model basically, it's just the private company brings the expertise, the customers, the business model, and it drives into that and becomes the business model of that shell company. But now you're playing on, you're raising capital at the public level. No longer are you a private company.
That's right.
So that's right. How it works. And what you're doing, Joe, is your job, your company's business model, is to put those two groups together, right? The private company and the public shell company. Put them together and make it one more profitable.
That's right. We end up partnering with the private company. We make sure the match is made, and we help the public company moving forward raise capital.
Hold on to that thought, Joe. When we come back, folks, we're going to talk about what's the landscape look like for this kind of a scenario, this kind of a transaction these days. We'll do that right after these messages. It's Wendy Till. We're also going to talk later on about whether this is something that you should be thinking about. Stay with us. We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, a small business advocate. Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. It's my pleasure as always. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com, and I hope you'll check it out. Use it to your advantage. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. Oh, by the way, you can follow me on Twitter. I'm at just put a Jim Blasingame, all one word, at the end of twitter.com, and you can follow me there. So check that out, and you can see what we're up to online. And as Brad Paisley said, Joe Muse, I'm so much cooler online.
Right.
Have you heard that song?
Yeah.
That's what my children tell me. Dad, you're so much cooler online. Joe Muse, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest. He's the president and the founder of Belmont Partners. They're the guys who put together all these reverse mergers. And we've been talking about that previously. In the previous segment, we talked about what a reverse merger is. Joe, what's the landscape look like? I was telling my audience earlier in the hour that as we go forward into 2010, we're not going to recognize if you went to sleep in 07, or let's say all the way through till August of 08. Let's say you fell asleep in August of 08 and you woke up January 1, 2010. I think you wouldn't recognize the world you woke up in terms of the marketplace. What do you think?
Yeah, I would agree. It's from our perspective, I know we've seen some positive news about the economy in the last 30 days, but in our sector, for the most part, we're not. You know, we're dealing every day with companies who call us looking to raise capital, looking to grow their business, and a lot of what we've seen, at least with American companies, is that the last 90 days or 120 days have really been a bloodbath.
Yeah, it has been for a lot of companies. So what is this? Does this create opportunity, though, for your company doing these reverse mergers? Are you one of the bright spots in the economy out there right now?
I'd like to think so. I mean, I believe that our ability to get companies public, to partner with them, to get them public, we're doing something now where we actually partner with them and take a limited amount of money down and allow them to get public with payments over time. I think it's a great opportunity. The other thing that I think bodes well for us is you can't get capital anywhere else. So I think going public and doing a reverse merger makes sense. And lastly, we have an office in Shanghai, and you get out of the paper every day that the Chinese economy is maybe slowing down to 6%, 5%. but the folks on the ground that work for me in Shanghai, they're telling me it still feels like 7 or 8%.
Mm-hmm.
So we're seeing a lot.
So and you're saying that some Chinese companies are wanting to merge into U.S. shell companies?
That's right. I mean, it's been happening for the last, say, 3 or 4 years.
You've already done a bunch of these, haven't you?
Correct. A dozen, two dozen, a lot of them.
Yeah. So let's talk about, though, what would be the advantage. Whenever somebody listens to what you're saying about merging their privately held growing company, you know, maybe you got a great idea, the next great thing for the future, but you need to raise more capital, and they're thinking, okay, well, maybe a reverse merger. But then they say, well, all right, once we do the transaction, Joe, where does the money come from? I thought the stock market was on its heels right now.
Right. Well, there are a lot of high net worth individuals that are still investing in deals. So the institutional investors, the hedge funds out there, they're mostly gone. But we're seeing a lot of $2, $4, $6 million raises that are put together by, you know, half a dozen high net worth individuals, and they're still funding deals. There's still money being deployed out there, which is the one bright spot.
But they're not doing it. So you're saying that they're putting their money into this publicly traded company rather than putting their money into a private company.
That's right. That's right.
And so they're investing, they're buying the stock in this publicly traded company, maybe at, you know, for pennies per stock per share or something like that. In the beginning, I guess, right? And then this way they know that they've got it, their exit strategy is kind of secure, because if you buy a private company, you invest in a private company, obviously your goal one day is to exit the company if you're an investor, either by going public, and if they start out by going public, then all they got to do is get the stock price up.
Right, it's really logical. Would you rather invest in a company that's private and maybe private for the next 10 years and your investment is illiquid, or would you rather invest in the same company that's public and maybe you want to stay in for the next 10 years, but you have the option to get out in 2 years or 1 year?
So you're saying that this is a variation on the venture capital model?
I think it's much better than the venture capital model. I think it's better than any.
For venture capitalists, they're actually looking at shell companies to invest in. You're saying this is a trend.
Absolutely, you're taking some risk off the table, and in today's environment, that's huge. And you talk to any entrepreneur out there, Jim. I know you talk to them every day. Mm-hmm. If you said to them, "We can get you capital where it's not debt, right? It's not at 10% interest or whatever.
Right.
It's equity, and you're going to be public, which means you have access to future investment opportunity out there." To me, 9 out of 10 would say yes. Tell me where I sign up.
Joe, give us your website, please.
Sure. www.belmontpartners.net.
BelmontPartners.net. So, folks, check that out. You can see a little bit more about what Joe does. And interest of full disclosure, Joe and I are actually working on a project. And so everything I've seen about their company, all the due diligence I've done, they're good folks, and obviously, or I wouldn't have Joe back on the show. And anyways, 10 till, I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. He and I will be right back. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with us. We're glad you're here. Joe Muse is our guest. Joseph Muse, M-E-U-S-E. He's the president and founder of Belmont Partners. That's BelmontPartners.net. I encourage you to check it out. Joe, our government has this behavior that really is maddening. They don't do their job. They let a bunch of things slip through the cracks. A lot of chaos is created, and they react to that by over swinging the pendulum the other way and beating up on the good guys after they've already let the bad guys do their damage. Now, that's my opinion. For example, we got Sarbanes-Oxley as a result of I did the math on it once, Joe. The companies that did the WorldCom, Enron, Tyco, what was the other one? I forgot the name of the other one. Some of the others, 0.8 of 1% of the publicly traded companies created the corporate malfeasance of 01 and 02. 0.8, and from that the government passed Sarbanes-Oxley, which infected all the rest of us. I fear that the SEC and the FCC and some of the other groups are going to overreact and beat up on companies like the ones you put together beyond reason. What are you seeing out there?
Yeah, you know, it's an excellent point. I'm saying that within a week since the Madoff scandal hit, what was that, early, mid-December.
Right.
And about a week after that, everything changed. Talked to a lot of people in the business, folks that own other folks that own brokerage firms, securities attorneys in the space. And since December, the red tape that they've had to go through to get stuff done, even basic stuff, has literally doubled overnight. It's become even
and that
more
costs
frustrating
money.
Than it was.
That costs money.
It certainly costs money. It makes fewer companies willing to go through the process.
Yeah.
It slows everything. It stops the efficiency. In the U.S. market, what I've always said, the U.S. financial market, is one of the most efficient, if not the most efficient, in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been our saving grace for a while. That's why companies want to list here. That's why they want to raise money here. That's why they buy T-bills here. And as soon as we lose that, then we're in big trouble.
You know, the thing that our government doesn't understand, Joe, is you can't stop a crook. One of my mentors once said that to me. You can't stop a crook. If somebody wants to cheat you, if somebody wants to steal from you, then a lock on the door is not going to stop them. And so you try to find those guys. You don't beat up on the regular folks who are playing by the rules.
Right, right.
There're going to be other Madoffs, I promise you.
Right.
It's going to happen.
The feeling in the I think in the general public is that Madoff did not get in trouble because of his stature, right? Who he
yeah.
was. He was a prominent
yeah.
individual, and the SEC needs to go after the larger players in the marketplace and treat them like they treat everybody else.
That's exactly right, and because as we're now living with. They're the ones who can do the most damage. They're the ones who can infect the global economy, basically.
That's right.
I mean, Madoff was his own subprime meltdown, wasn't he?
That's right. That's
basically.
Right. And now the pendulum, as you said, is swinging in the other direction, and it swings against everybody. So it's going to really be, in my opinion, for the next 6 or 12 months, maybe longer. Depending on what this administration does, a really frustrating time.
Do you get the feeling that this administration is anti-business now? That the vibes they're giving off is not just we're going to clean up the bad guys, but they're actually giving off an attitude of anti-business?
I'm not sure if it's anti-business. I've talked to a lot of business owners, and they certainly feel that way. So I guess the answer to that is yes. And I'll tell you, just in my own business, I probably have never been so disenfranchised with the government in general. And you're saying all I can do is control my own destiny and work harder and be thankful I'm an entrepreneur, because I think, you know, there are a lot of people out there who are not the boss.
Right.
We're not the entrepreneur, and they have no control over their future. It's got
to
be.
I like to remind the Democrat Party that something Paul Sanger said, the late senator from Maine. He said, "You can't love the employee and hate the employer at the same time." BelmontPartners.net, right, Joe?
That's right.
Thank you for being here. Good job, today. We'll see you next time.
Thanks. Thanks, Jim. I appreciate it.
Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Don't go away. I'll be back after the news.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.